Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, thanks for tuning in. And I'm really excited today because we actually have our first ever phys ed guest. And I've sort of been mentioning that this is going to be happening, and it is going to be happening every sort of five episodes as we sort of share things that other people are doing related to tech and PE. And it was my absolute pleasure to get Jo Bailey and connect with her and get her onto the podcast. So welcome, Jo.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So for those people that maybe don't know you, which I'd be surprised if they don't, where do you teach and sort of how did you get started down this track of technology and PE?
Right now I'm teaching in a relatively small town called Warsaw, Wisconsin, kind of north central Wisconsin. From the accent, you might be able to tell that that's not where I'm from. I'm actually British. I spent a lot of time in Hong Kong, and I've taught in both England and Hong Kong. So I've kind of hopped around a bit, but I've been based here at a high school for the last 10 years. And I guess my journey with tech has always been driven by there has to be an easier way to do this. You know, you're faced with a task, you're trying to do paperwork, you're trying to, you know, figure out the best way to teach something. And I'm always driven by that thought that there's got to be an easier way. I guess I started out, so remember, it was back in Hong Kong, you know, starting out with heart rate monitors, some of the Polar watches, and being kind of wowed by what you could learn with those and do with those, and just kind of went from there.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you touched on a really good point that, you know, that the attraction for me as well is sort of threefold, that if technology supports me as the teacher to be more efficient and effective, then I definitely sort of pursue that and value it, because I think that definitely then gets up, you know, by freeing you up almost to work on things that you can push learning forward. And the other thing for me is if I think it actually engages or improves learning, then I value it. And the final sort of thing that makes tech exciting for me is if I think it improves my own learning. So I think we're on the same path there, that, you know, if it makes us more efficient, then I think it frees us up to be even more powerful when it comes to teaching. So what are the things for you that you think make you more efficient right at the moment related to tech?
I guess there's quite a few things on the front end, like actually direct teaching, and there's quite a lot on the back end as well with, you know, preparation and, you know, keeping assessments sorted, reporting and that sort of stuff. I guess one of a really big aha for me on the front end was I was teaching adventure ed, and in our climbing unit, the students have to learn how to tie knots. And it's really hard for you as a teacher to try and be in 20 places or more at once. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, I found some knot apps, and I made some QR codes and linked them to some videos. So they had me, they had their videos, they had some other app resources as well. And it blew me away, you know, from sort of spending 3 days and a lot of frustration on the kids' part as they were trying to, you know, learn this new skill and this new motor pattern to some of them got it really quickly and then were helping others. So it went from having one teacher to me being able to sort of really help those that were struggling beyond belief. And I think we cut down the amount of time it would have taken by a third. So that was like, wow, this is a game changer.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was able to push the information out to them ahead of time using, I think I used Remind, or it was certainly some sort of web-based thing that said, hey, you know, if you got a chance, have a look at this before class. So some of them came in already knowing what they were going to be looking at. So, I mean, that was huge in itself. And from then on in, I've always tried to look at, you know, how can I be in more than one place at once? So, this, you know, students have access to me or information they need, but I don't necessarily have to be directly with them all the time. On the back end, definitely admin tasks, you know, or, you know, from simply getting roll call lists organized to collecting data to assessments, you know, I'm a bit of a Google convert. In fact, that I love the ease of their stuff. I love that I can get it anywhere. I love Google Forms, and I love the add-ons that you can use with Google Forms, because that's my easy button. That's the thing that does all the, it just takes the work away from you, which is huge.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right there. And That whole Google sort of, you know, explosion of tools and things is definitely going to continue. And if people are listening and you haven't really sort of explored the whole use of Google and the apps and so forth that are available in their classroom, then there's massive scope for you to sort of really propel that sort of administrative stuff in behind the scenes. I also like what you mentioned about being able to sort of clone yourself. And I think that's one of the powerful things that technology provides. And I mean, for me, you know, using tools that enhance the classroom and allow students to pick and differentiate the tasks that they're choosing is a really big focus. And I always use the example of my students asking me to teach yoga. I don't know if you can think about that, but I could never do anything remotely close to yoga. I can participate in it, but I couldn't teach it. And, you know, just the wealth of material that's online of people who know what they're doing, teaching a skill, and then we can put that in the hands of our students. And then we become doubly valuable, I think, because then we get to, you know, participate or walk around. So that knot tying example is perfect. I must admit, I'm a bit of a knot dyslexic. I'm horrible at any sort of knot tying. So, I mean, I think I should go back to the lesson that you described there and maybe advance my skills. But on the back end, what sort of add-ons do you find at the moment that you're using the most? So related to the Google tools.
I think my number one favorite right now is Docker Pender. You know, still not to the point where when I'm collecting like pedometer data, heart rate data, all that sort of stuff, the fact that I can use that to send that data to effectively a student portfolio and keep adding to it and keep adding to it as we work through is magical. Mm. And they can see, you know, you can do, not only can I push that up, but I can push basically anything from a form to the same document and just have it build up this, you know, this evidence of learning for the students to see. So I'm using that through Google Classroom, and I love Google Classroom as well. It's been new since August, and I know it's only going to keep getting better. In addition to that, Autocrat's been another huge one. I was president of our state organization, and you know, we have organized conferences and collate presentation proposals, all those sorts of things, and I've used Autocrat to streamline nearly every single one of the processes that we have. So someone submits a proposal, everyone, you know, the person who submitted it gets a copy, us as the state organization gets a copy, the people who are going to review the proposals, they get a copy. Mm. So from that perspective, it's so easy. Yeah. Sharing factor is great as well. So those two are definitely my two favorites. I've played around with Doctopus and Choice Eliminator is a great one I've used that in the last couple of days for a field trip to figure out who had signed up for the field trip and who hadn't. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on your needs, but definitely I'd say Docpender is one, probably number one right now for me.
Yeah, definitely. And the Google tools are just an explosion of, you know, sort of really high-end stuff that's coming out. And that's just sort of Google's way of just keeping that innovation going by handing it over to people who are just coding these amazing things. And it's just the start, really. Like, it's really just the start of this sort of plethora of new tools. And, I mean, Google Classroom is really simplistic, isn't it? But it does exactly what it needs to. And, I mean, there's lots of tools out there that allow you to do learning management and, you know, that sort of stuff. But we're having massive traction with it at our school at the moment with the average teacher, because they're able to sort of use it instantly, and you know, we're getting a lot of buy-in from teachers who've never used digital tools, and they're using Google Classroom connected with Google Drive and having lots of success. So there's something to be said about simplicity, and I reckon Google definitely, you know, it does follow that mantra of, you know, sometimes simple is best, and you know, the simplest things are often the most powerful, which is really exciting. Definitely. Now,
my five classes in a space of about 5 minutes in September, and I mean, that's huge. I mean, I know there's loads of other LMSs, learning management systems out there, but when you can set something up that quickly, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a game changer, definitely. Now, my other question is sort of in line with With that, in many ways, you know, obviously over the course of the years that you've been using tech and PE, you've come across things that, you know, have good promise, but maybe don't work quite as well. And then you get them into a real setting and you realize that they definitely don't work well. Have you made any sort of mistakes or, you know, not, I wouldn't say the mistakes, is everything's a learning sort of path, but things that you look back and go, wow, did I actually do that? Because my teaching history is full of moments like that. And I did a podcast episode just last fortnight that was all about these mistakes that I'd made. I'm interested to see if you've got any that come to mind.
I could probably admit to one that's really poor. I was showing a student teacher how to use, we were using Coach's Eye, and we had two iPads out there, and the camera was missing from my iPad, and I couldn't figure it out, and I spent all this time trying to figure out where that little camera button on my iPad had gone, until I finally, the penny dropped that I was actually using an original iPad that didn't have a camera. Yeah, that was a real waste of time and of failure. So little stuff like that. Sometimes you overlook the obvious because you're trying to figure out how to work. And other things like, you know, you set something up and you forget to make sure that you've shared it with somebody, or the Wi-Fi disappears on you, or, you know, those sorts of things. It's like you want to, I think one of the biggest things is, first of all, expect something to go wrong and have a backup plan just in case it does.
Yeah.
And use it as a learning opportunity. It's like, okay, this didn't work for us right now. We'll see if we can make it work again in the future, if it works. Trying to figure out if it is the best use of your time or if it's taking too much away from what you're trying to do. But yeah, I'd say definitely check in the sharing settings, Wi-Fi. In fact, I had a conference the day, a while back, and I was going to use, I had my Reflector app, I had my Apple TV, and couldn't get into work. Despite the Wi-Fi, nothing was connecting. And in fact, it was you that told me that I could make my own personal network on my computer and use that instead. I was like, that's brilliant. I didn't know that. But little stuff like that, like if something doesn't work, what's your backup plan? Because you're going to need one.
Yeah, definitely. And I love what you sort of mentioned there about sort of treating it as a learning journey, because I mean, this is what we expect students to do. Like, you know, they come into class and they're constantly, you know, trying something new and they're learning something new and they make mistakes and then they try again. But often as teachers, I mean, we try and avoid that particular situation as much as possible. And I think there's a lot to be sort of gained from making mistakes. And I know for a fact that, you know, in 2008, when I first started using tech and PE in my first year, I made so many mistakes. And I was doing things sometimes just because they were cool and new, you know, and that's a pitfall that I've gone down, you know, a few times. And now I'm sort of very more conscious about ensuring that it's value adding, that it meets those sort of three things that I mentioned before. And I'm willing to make, you know, the occasional mistake here and there to sort of hone it and perfect it. Okay. So what about a couple of things that you use every day? You know, maybe it's an app or maybe it's, you know, a wearable or something that you do on a daily basis that has now become part of, your everyday life.
I guess I cycle around with apps depending on things that I'm doing. TeamShake is one that I'm now using every single day. In fact, I spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure out how to get everything set up easily, more time than I could have spent, but now that I've done it, I know I can do it again and make it quicker second and third time around. But that one's been really nice for me to set up every kind of a setting or grouping that I want without the kids knowing why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that's always a go-to one. I'm working more and more with the kind of the video apps, be it, you know, if it's BAM Video Delay or Coach's Eye, or I've played around with your Videolize or Ubersense. Again, depends which ones fits, but I mean, I just finished up a swimming unit and being able to show the students, okay, this is you and your group swimming. What elements of technique can you recognize here that are working? What elements do you need to change? And then showing them a comparison video. I mean, that's just so powerful.
Yeah. Straight away, they can see. Exactly. You raise a good point there. Like, sometimes there's no way to improve something unless you actually get a chance to see it. And exactly. I think one of the sort of hidden values for me with video analysis is that we don't often see everything ourselves when it's live action, you know, when it's right there in the moment. I don't see everything that could, you know, could potentially be a teaching moment. But when you get to see it, I think it improves my feedback, and then it improves the things that they see. So yeah, video is definitely a highlight for me. Any other sort of thing? Like, I know you're a big wearable fan.
Oh yeah, Fitbit. My husband thinks I'm a gadget. Well, I'm a gadget girl. I like my gadgets.
Yeah.
But he'll laugh at me because I could be sitting down with my phone, computer, iPad, something else, and just arrive. He's like, "What? Which one are you messing with?" I'm like, "All of them." Yeah, but the Fitbit I love, and I've always liked the idea of knowing numbers and where I'm at. So be it using a watch to, you know, to time myself, or, you know, just kind of old school now, I guess, or GPS to track how far I'm going. But the Fitbit with the steps, that's been a big game changer. I've had one for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, and, you know, I've lost several of them and had to replace them because it felt like, you know, I was missing part of my, you know, missing a limb without having one on there recording what I was doing. But no, I just love that feedback that says, hey, you did this. And I think it's such it's turned into a great motivator for me to not just, you know, be active anyway. I mean, I've always been active, but really look at that sedentary time in the day when you could, you know, you've done your 30 minutes or your hour of activity, whatever you plan to do. But then, for the most part, particularly I think on weekends, more so for me teaching P, because you're always moving, I found that I could be really sedentary if I wasn't proactive about moving. Mm. So I, you know, started being more mindful, and I don't know why I came up with a step goal for 20,000 steps, but I did, and it's been kind of going for, you know, year and a half now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's changed my mindset. I think I'm more productive. So yeah, I really value the feedback that I get from that. And I've done it with students, you know, have them do a 24-hour pedometer challenge just as a baseline. And immediately they start moving more. They're like, can we wear it more often? Can we do this? Can we do that? Because they are also valuing the feedback. And I'm like, yeah, this is telling you, you know, if I'm using, even same with heart rate, it's like, this is telling you how amazing you are. That's what it's telling you. Mm. Hey, look what you did. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So to try and get them to think of it from that perspective is big as well. But yeah, I like being told that I've moved enough, or if I haven't.
I'm exactly the same. And you make the point about timing. You know, I still remember being in high school and getting my first ever stopwatch, like it was on my wrist. And, you know, I thought I was so cool just, you know, starting a race or starting a run and being able to time it and then see just the time. And that was, you know, set me in motion of this sort of quantified self that we're getting to now, where, you know, you can track and keep track of everything. And we have an episode coming up, you know, very soon around that whole quantified self and where it's, I think it's sort of heading. But there's massive implications for the classroom, I think, as we've sort of briefly alluded to there. And it's only going to continue. Couple of other little questions that I have at the moment. What do you see as being the thing that excites you as we sort of head forward into the future? Is there anything that, you know, you think is going to greatly increase, or something that's going to get more cost effective, and something that you're looking forward to, but maybe it's not quite there just yet?
I think on the wearable technology front, particularly, I mean, obviously the Apple Watch was announced this week with all its features, and just seeing where those sorts of things are going. You know, phones and so on are great, but not always practical to carry around with you, depending on what you're doing, particularly from an activity standpoint. So I think anything that's really wearable that you can put it on and leave it, but still get every piece of information that you want to get, I think that's going to hopefully increase. I think that the really cool thing about that might be that it might be the turning point that we need to have that shift in public health and awareness of, hey, you know what? I need to sleep. I need to move. Nutrition's important. And this is going to help me. And perhaps seeing that and that becoming more commonplace is maybe it will be it'll help a shift in public health, because we know that a lot of people don't get the activity that they should. Mm. They don't get enough sleep. So all those things that kind of contribute to, you know, having a, you know, healthy lifestyle and feeling good about yourself. So So I think that's going to be interesting. I mean, even in the last year, you walked in and to a shop and looked at the electronics department for wearable trackers and so on, and there was maybe three or four. And I just remember being astounded at Christmas when there was just, I can't even say how many. There was rows upon row upon row of wearable trackers that were out there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And one thing, if people are sitting here right now and they're wanting to find out a little bit more information about you and where you sort of spend most of your time online, how can they go about doing that?
I'm on Twitter all the time. That's one of my favorite places to go. My Twitter handle is @lovephyed, LOVEPHYED. And I also blog at lovephyed.blogspot.com. And myself and another teacher in Wisconsin, we do our amazing, excellent PE adventures generally around once a month, where we just kind of get together on a Google Hangout and talk about what we've been doing in our classes and what's working and what didn't work, and just kind of, just chat up everything to do with PE and so on. So
I'm always
interested in learning more, that's for sure.
And that's on YouTube, isn't it? You post those videos to YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So we'll have a list of all the links that are being mentioned, as well as links to social profiles, in the episode notes at thepeergeek.com/episode30, as well as a full transcript of today's podcast as well. One last thing, what's Voxer? What is it about?
Ooh, Voxer's like a walkie-talkie. So basically you tap a button on your phone and you speak into the microphone, and it records whatever you're saying verbally to a group or an individual person. So on Voxer, there's several different groups set up. It's not kind of like Twitter, where you can kind of get in yourself. You kind of have to say to somebody, hey, can you add me to a general PE group or a PE technology group? So there's all these conversations that are going on about with people who have common interests in various things. But, I mean, for example, there's PE technology. There's a high school PE and elementary school PE, and everyone is just sharing and asking questions and inquiring. You can also share links on there as well, put in some text messages, share photos. So with it, you could ask a question, and within, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, you've got 10 answers or 10 people trying to help you, whether they have some might have the answer, some might be able to point you in the direction of a resource that you can use. It's been astounding to, one of the things I mean to do is actually make a list of all the things I learned in 1 week. I think it would be huge through Voxer and so other social media. Cause it is every day there's something new, and whether it's, and it can be just someone's throwaways. Here's a great example. Jorge Rodriguez was talking about using a drone in, for PE to record his field day. And it's stuff like that just blows my mind. It's something that I would not have ever thought about had I not heard him talk about it. And so,
yeah, definitely. It's become part of my everyday as well. It's sort of like the, driving to school and driving home from it, being able to catch up and listen to it. It's pretty much like a virtual staff room. It's like we're all in the same staff room and we're actually talking about it. But, the difference is that we're actually hearing each other's voices and things. So if you are unfamiliar with Voxer, definitely go and sign up and download the app and get active and get in contact with any of us, and we can put you into the right groups to sort of create that conversation. Well, thank you heaps, Joe, for taking the time out to come on to episode 30. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to seeing everything else that you're doing online.
Thanks, and also thanks to you for everything that you do for PE, because I think you help push the envelope all the time and get people thinking about, hey, what is possible out there. I mean, from 3D whistles, I mean, who knows where we're going next. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, thank you. All right, see ya.
All right then, bye.
All right, I really hope you enjoyed that episode and interview with Joe Bailey. And if you want to track down any of the links and resources that were mentioned throughout the episode, and there were a ton of them, then you can head to thepeergeek.com/30. And that will take you to the episode page, where you'll be able to find all the links from the show, as well as a full transcript of today's episode. Now, I'm looking forward to diving into episode 31. It's a solo episode where I'm going to be talking about my volleyball unit, which I'm currently running at school at the moment, and really excited to share with you the sort of things that I've been doing to introduce the iPads that our Year 7s currently got access to. They've just moved to a one-to-one iPad. So every student in Year 7 has access to an iPad mini, and it's enabled me to do things in that particular unit that I have not been able to achieve on the same sort of scale in the past. So looking forward to diving into my volleyball unit and exactly the sorts of things that I've been doing using a whole host of technology. Until next time, if you have any questions, you know where to get me at jared@thepeergeek.com, or if you have a guest that you think I should interview, or if you'd like to be a guest, then also send me an email or drop me a voicemail at thepeergeek.com/voicemail. All right, see you later.